Welcome to the Business and Enterprise Systems Mission Success Podcast, where we have conversations about things, great things going on in the BES Directorate. And today we're joined by Mr. Tony Madden, Ms. Hannah Gabriel, and they are from the BES Agile Services Office. And we've got a great conversation, I know, planned today. So good day to you both. How are you?
Good. Having a great day.
Okay, now we normally don't
Hey, John, have a great day too. Happy to be here.
Good. We normally don't timestamp things like this, but it's December, and I know you guys are having a really, really cold day up in the Midwest, and thank you for joining us. Tell us, we're the Mission Success Podcast. We all always want to know what the mission is of the specifics of any program or service in the BES Directorate, but tell us the mission of the Agile Services Office and Agile Coaching.
Yeah, so what we like to provide is to all the capability delivery teams within BES for Hannah and I to help equip and support their current Agile journeys, if it starts with a transformation or if they're in sustainment or whatever their current journey model is at this time. What we do is help with their Agile software development frameworks by providing Agile training. We provide also tools coaching with the BAT, which we have tool coaches. That's also part of our Agile Services Office. And as
Real
well
quick,
as
tell us, tell us what the BAT is. You just mentioned the BAT.
Tell us sure.
About yeah.
So that is the BES Atlassian tool set that Rachel Wolf is the team lead and lead technician for that capability delivery team that they provide the Atlassian tool sets that include Jira, Confluence, Bitbucket, and Jenkins. So we support all operations in terms of technical support, training, migrations, all the good that the team provides for that. And that's another part of our Agile Services Office.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Tony covered it really well. Agile coaches can show up in a bunch of different ways for teams. Our biggest mission is going to be to help teams to find a better way of work. And we're going to do that through implementing Agile principles and practices across the various roles within your organization. We're going to come in and be able to assess your current processes and understand where there's opportunities for improvement within those processes. But as Tony stated very beautifully, the goal of our team is to help those BES capability delivery teams to implement those Agile tools, software development frameworks by providing that Agile training and coaching and policy guidance.
When you go into a coaching situation, what are some of the things that you're looking for as, I don't want to say weaknesses, but as far as areas of improvement where your team can really jump in and provide the best services for those teams?
Hannah, you want to take a swing at this?
Sure, absolutely. I think one of the big areas that Tony and I will first latch onto is understanding how the team is communicating. That's going to be a big part of determining success, especially in an Agile framework. One thing that we like to really emphasize is that software development isn't inherently visible. So it's very difficult to really optimize those communications amongst the team. So as Agile coaches, what we can do is come in with those principles and practices and help the team to implement them to augment things like communication practices, to improve the visibility of day-to-day work across the team, across various roles. That's going to include those people that are doing the daily grind of that software development and how they communicate up and out to, say, the level of a capability delivery manager, all the way up to a product line manager. And understanding that communication, understanding the current state of that team is going to help us to strategically build a training plan so that we can come in and optimize within points of that process. Tony, any thoughts?
Yeah, so as we take Hannah's wonderful way to be part of a team's journey, another thing that we also like to ask is do you have a current agile strategy amongst your team today? So a lot of the CDTs that stand up, that's one of the requirements, is having their own given way of working agile strategy. And let's sit down and look at it. Is this applying to how you operate today? And if we hear some like words like, no, we kind of gone off and done this and that, that gives Hannah and I an opportunity to say, okay, let's pull on that thread. Let's talk about a little bit more on how you're now in this area and how can we refocus and recenter back on what that your outcomes are for your current agile framework. So that's one of many different strategies we have. And sometimes I know Hannah and I will ask, hey, how's your day? What's the pain point? And sometimes they're pretty direct on the challenges they have there. So yeah, there's multiple ways. It depends how the communication style happens when it first gets introduced to us or not. So
I'm just going to go ahead and ask this.
yeah.
Mr. Madden, you were saying before we started recording, I think I just called you this, that around your office, you guys are known as the Wonder Twins. Just because of one has a strength that complements so much the other person's strength. When you guys come into a setting, any type of coaching situation, what are some of the things? It's easy to say, what are the strengths that you are bringing or that you are bringing, but what are some of the things that you're seeing that maybe Miss Gabriel, you're not seeing, vice versa? Not just your strengths, but what is it that you're perceiving when you go into those situations?
Kenny, you want to go first?
Sure. So I think one of the ways that Tony and I really complement each other, and it's especially one of the reasons that we'll go into engagements together in kind of a primary and secondary structure support system. I come from an extensive background working heavily in a more business-oriented roles. So, in my past life, I have found myself in the position of product owner in positions very comparable to what we call a CDM here in Bez, as well as functioning as a scrum master, which Tony has a plethora of experience with. So, my understanding of the business side of the house can lean towards helping those roles to understand what their day-to-day can look like. And how, again, we can optimize kind of those best practices and skills that are going to make their day-to-day a little easier. A successful day for me is a day that I helped improve someone's quality of life at work. If I can make something a little bit easier for them day-to-day, that's a huge win. And I know that's a huge win for Tony too. So I come in with that plethora of kind of the business-oriented side, while Tony has a really fantastic background on the more technical side of the house, which I'll let him speak to, where he likes to say he grew up from.
So I like to say that Hannah and I were powerful alone if we go into our agile coaching journey separately, but I feel we're invincible together because I grew up in the IT. I sat in the seats of a lot of the folks that are on these agile teams. And I was a developer for a long time, a sysadmin for a long time. Then I transitioned into project management. So, and I've been in that Scrum Master lead for a lot of years too. So, our strengths are so complementary. When Hannah talks about how to look at a user story and look at the business use case on how to solve that, I'm like, wow, I didn't think about that because I'm always thinking about how to implement that. She does a beautiful job messaging the what and the why. So, and also, I think I help her when she describes a what and why. I kind of really describe, how they could be looked at, how it can be implemented, and also maybe help forecast with some, with the team on what the estimates could look like, whatever team estimate why. So, I don't know. It's actually kind of fun. I learned so much from Hannah on that aspect. So.
I always love seeing this when we interview teams together and they're so complementary of each other's strengths and they recognize the value of their teammates. How much, as far as the training and the coaching that you do, how much of it is in person? How much is virtual? What does that look like? What does that landscape look like?
I know for me, I like to do it more face to face. I like getting on the whiteboard. I like it make more personable. It helps me as an agile coach to see the nonverbals as well as the verbals, to seeing if we're being impactful with what we're trying to have as an outcome. But I know in today's times, we're in this hybrid mode. So I know a lot of teams we support, they're 100% remote, but Hannah has been able to leverage a lot of the Microsoft technologies called whiteboarding. So, Hannah, I want to pass the baton to you on how you're leveraging that wonderful piece of tool for enhanced collaboration.
Yes, teach us,
Oh yeah,
Maestro.
absolutely. I'll pull on that same string Tony was on. The coaching can take a couple different forms, and Tony and I always really love to speak to some basic change management principles. And that's going to start with the ADKAR model. Part of that model that we'll zoom in here is this concept of distinguishing the difference between knowledge and ability. And those can look like different forms of training. So when we talk about knowledge, agile coaching can show up in the form of many different, can take many different forms. That can look like the availability of self-guided resources, which we have available through our Agile Services knowledge base. So if you're good at learning on your own, you want to pace at your own learning pace, you can go there and find materials that have been already accumulated and strategically organized to help you in your role of Scrum Master or in your role of product owner or whatever framework you've adopted. Whatever agile framework you've adopted to date. So we have really wonderful self-guided resources. Tony and I also provide virtual instructor-led training workshops. We typically have a couple of those a month. And those are going to be targeted at learning some agile fundamentals. And Tony and I really love to work those workshops because we get to have some one-on-one time with teams. We like to make those really interactive. Our goal is not to sit and lecture. Tony and I love to talk, so we want to have those personable interactions whenever we possibly can, and we really try to incorporate that into any of the knowledge building that's going to be available to the teams. So, in addition to those resources, which is kind of that knowledge building, we also focus in on that area of ability, which means we have the fundamental knowledge of what we need to do and why we need to do it, but we also can help with transitioning that knowledge to, okay, now how do I apply this to my day-to-day life at work? So that means we can come in and we can sit in your meetings with your team and live provide feedback, provide guidance, provide support to the team in actually implementing that knowledge in their day-to-day work. And having that balance between those two styles of teaching and coaching is really important as an agile coach.
Yeah. Man, that is fantastic because what you guys are describing at the most basic level really is coaching. And that term, the title that you guys have is very appropriate, very fitting. It's not just a title somebody slapped on you guys. The idea of working with people with their learning styles really is it's great to see how you guys are putting this into practice day in and day out, and talking about that, how you're helping teams, how you're leading them, how you're coaching them. What are the best practices when you're dealing with a capability delivery team? What are the best practices that they can implement with their within their agile teams?
There's a number of ways we can look at that. So going back to the ADKAR model, we can go first through that awareness to see how people within the team are aware of each other's operation. So not only do we help and work on maybe the process side, I think Hannah and I do a great job to work on the people side, to understand people's style of communication, that everybody's on the same language, everybody's on the same verbs and nouns, because we have some stakeholders, for example, that are at the Pentagon, they're at other areas outside of Gunner and Wright Pat and Randolph, right? So what we try to do is get people on the same sheet of music, the same understanding of what common terms are. Then from there, it lessens the resistance. It re lessens maybe some potential conflict that maybe from past or maybe current or even potential future. And also, with the change of personnel, with promotions and all the other great things that happen, there's an opportunity from there that we can keep these CDTs or emotion still high performing. So, Hannah, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, Tony, I love that you go to the ADKAR model. Tony and I are really passionate about that model, really bringing it to the forefront because change management is a really important aspect of an important part of this agile journey that any of these teams are going to go on. So yeah, really understanding again, what is that current state? How is the team functioning today? And where can we find those opportunities for improvement? Where we see that right now, we're working with numerous CDTs currently. We have 15 active engagements going right now, which is wonderful. Some trends that we're starting to identify is understanding the need for product ownership on these teams and what it looks like when you lack product ownership on a team. Another aspect that we're seeing is understanding how to effectively translate requirements that might currently be captured in more of a waterfall approach, something like an RTM or a requirements document, whatever the team is calling it today, that process of taking loads of time up front to thoroughly document and understand every single requirement for a piece of software before the team is ever engaged. And we know in Agile that we start to turn that concept on its head. And we want to do things in bite-sized pieces so that we can prioritize that customer-centric value delivery. So we can prioritize feedback loops coming back to the team faster and faster so that we know we're truly delivering something of value to our customer and we're not reacting to a big bomb at the end of the road because we built the wrong thing.
Right.
So a big piece of that is understanding, okay, how do I effectively make this transition from having this RTM or this requirements document to effectively structuring and creating a healthy product backlog? And Tony and I have been really focusing in with a lot of teams on what it looks like to create a product backlog, what that means, what it feels like, who all is involved, and getting in at some of those baseline 101 practices that helps those teams to make that transition from that document to that backlog. And that's something that Tony and I are incredibly hands-on about. We have plenty of training opportunities that are available for that, but mostly we just like to get our hands dirty, get on in there with a meeting with the team and, help them to really flesh out what this could look like.
Oh, that's a great lead into this next question about agile coaching skill sets or services. What are the skill sets or the services that you guys offer? And I want to add to that, how much of it is turnkey? How much of it is customized to each team and discussed?
Sure. There's a variety of skill sets that we bring to the table. One is teaching that Hannah mentioned, and some that are turnkey today. As Hannah mentioned, we have a wonderful Agile services knowledge base. It's your one-stop shop to get all Agile and BAT tooling information on 101, 201, 301 level. And all these great things. Also, we have turnkey solutions based upon the role that you're part of your team. So we got specified training paths if you're a Scrum Master, a CDM, product owner, PLM, and we have other opportunities on there. So, Hannah, what are there some other skill sets that we provide?
So other than teaching, another way that we can show up is in mentoring. So these are all kind of complementary. You'll notice they naturally start to overlap. But Tony and I are force multipliers, as he likes to say, and I love that how he says that. We're here to help enable your team. We're here to help support your team. We are not necessarily executing on those items, but we're here to help your team to reach those goals and identify where those opportunities are for improvement and help to equip that team with those abilities. So, mentoring, we're here to share our knowledge. We're here to support you. We're here to help to create a psychologically safe environment so that your team can learn and grow. And I think when I think of that word mentoring, that's really what Tony and I like to really lean into. In addition to that, we have the coaching aspect, which I think you just described beautifully, John, a moment ago. So, really being there again as that support system for that client, for that customer that's reaching out to us for that help. We're here to ask open and powerful questions to help teams to learn how to reach those answers and to provide them the knowledge that's necessary to, again, get to those answers on their own. Tony, any others you want to talk to?
That was beautiful. Another aspect that we also provide is facilitation. So what we can do, we can have that leadership opportunity to have that one-on-one saying with the, how the team, with our observations on the ways of working, this is how you want to do your refinement, okay? And we facilitate on that, what that should look like and that what the outcome should be. And also with in terms of planning and estimation. And also I think we also help try to enable metrics. I know that's another big topic to have our teams understand the health, the progress, how are they performing, and how that traceabilities can be profound as they share the success of the product release to the warfighter and to communicate upwardly with the stakeholders the value they're bringing to bed. So it's
Yeah.
a it's another winning aspect. So.
Great stuff. Now, this is always the big question. Where do we go from here? Yeah. Well, what's next? How do we get started on the next step, guys? What are we doing?
So, how you can get started with us is we do have a formal process that we do ask all members of BES that would they would love our services to go to the Agile Services knowledge base, and we do have an area to put in an Agile coaching ticket. So there, that starts our formal process for our leader Rachel Wolf to make sure she can vet it and then assign Hannah and I to those opportunities that come in. So.
Now I know what did you say a few minutes ago that currently you're engaged with 15 different teams?
Yes,
Okay.
sir.
All right. Are we talking large teams, small teams? What's the average size, or is that average, is that even a possibility? What do you guys deal with?
We see a plethora of different teams. So we have some teams that are as small as 5 people. We have some teams that I think are probably pushing close to 75 plus
Oh, wow.
contributors, depending on if we're interacting with the product line or an individual product within a product line. So we are able in certain circumstances to be able to influence not only government representatives, but also our complementary contractors that are part of that effort as well.
Gotcha.
So we've seen a little bit of both. As Tony said before, we do have teams that are on site. Tony and I are located here in Kettering, but we do have teams that are exclusively down at Gunner. So we are able to navigate whether it's a purely virtual coaching experience, or if we do have that opportunity to get that face-to-face time. We've also had really great opportunities where teams have traveled to come and have Agile boot camps conducted,
Yeah.
which have been absolutely wonderful. So we've had experience conducting up to 3-day workshops with teams to be hyper-focused on, building that knowledge and again working with the teams in real time to make that transition to ability within the context of their actual product.
I want to pull in that thread with our workshops because they're really fun. Hannah and I, it's hands-on learning. We have hands-on exercises. And not only do we present the material, we have the team do the exercise. We break them up into smaller subsets. they do, let's say, do we get them little note cards to write maybe an example of a writer, user story with an example that we have, or maybe he and I will give them a large item and we teach them and have them work on how to break down a large ask into smaller bite-sized one. And I don't know, I get a lot of enjoyment because we also give rewards when a team does well. We have little stickers, we have a little funsy stuff, and I don't know, it's a big fun event. So I always looking forward to our in-person workshop.
Well, I'm coming to an Agile boot camp then. That sounds fun. I want a prize.
Yeah, we
Hey,
got stickers ready.
thank you guys. This is a great picture of how within the Bez we are making a difference. So, we say we're here to delight the user, the end user. So how do we do that? We make sure all of our systems and all of our people are just constantly getting better. And you guys are playing such a crucial role in that. And we thank you. Thank you so much for the Agile Services Office and the services that you guys are providing for the Bez. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you for all of you for tuning in to the BES Mission Success Podcast. At BES, we run the systems that run the Department of the Air Force, moving money, manpower, and materiel. Until next time, good day.